Right, that's fine.
Yes, sir. You make yourself at home.
Would let's open our Bible again to Psalms chapter 23. I know some may say, well, he was there last night. I think too many times we, in our human nature, we become so familiar with scriptures. We know the meaning of the words in our head, but do we know them in our hearts? Suppose everybody in here could probably quote this chapter. They said years ago they was an old missionary. He came back from the mission field and they said he stood up and just recited Psalms chapter 23, and they said they wasn't a dry eye in the place. People just touched, just like God spoke to them. I mean, just quoting these verses, and there was somebody there, and they looked over to somebody else, and they said, I've heard you read that I don't know how many times. And he said, what makes the difference? He said, I can tell you exactly. I know the psalm. He knows the shepherd. That's the difference. It's not just reading these words as empty words. It's knowing the one it talks about. What made those girls sing so well? It's not their voices, it's not their human talent, it's the one they were singing about. That's what makes the difference. That's what's made the difference this weekend. It's Him. We're going to talk about Him. We're going to talk about Him again. Let's read this chapter, these six verses. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. To a believer, this is comfort. He says, comfort ye, my people. There's one thing we need, and that's comfort. Comfort. And He's the only one that can comfort your heart and comfort my heart. And David, writing this psalm, some have spent a lot of time saying, well, when did David write this psalm? Is it when he was a young man? Was it when he was running from Saul? Was it after all that, when he was on the throne, or was it in his later life? I don't know that it really matters. I do know, like I said last night, it came after Psalm 22. You have to know what happened on the cross to appreciate this psalm. That the Lord, as you said, that Lord, that shepherd, gave His life for the sheep. And you just say, the Lord, that Lord, the Lord Jehovah, the Lord that provided when Isaac was going up on the mountain with Abraham, and they turned and he said, we're going to go worship God. And he said, we got the fire and we got the knife and we got all these things. But Isaac looked up at his dad and said, we don't have the most important thing. We don't have a sacrifice. Abraham said, God provide. That's who he's talking about. The Lord is my shepherd. He provided the shepherd. He provided. He's my shepherd. He's your shepherd. The Lord, the sovereign God of this universe, is my shepherd. Now that's comfort. This sheep needs a shepherd. My shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's not my co-pilot. He's my shepherd. You know what a shepherd does or what he is? He owns sheep. The sheep and the shepherd never change places. He owns them. That means he controls them. He's sovereign Lord over all things. He gives eternal life to as many as he will. He's in total, complete control. He never ceases to be in control. Never. He's the shepherd. We get a piece of ground and we put a fence around it. We put a sign up and say, no trespassing. God puts no fences up. He owns it all. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He owns it all. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and he owns the hills. He owns it all. Who does? The Lord does. The Lord is my shepherd. You mean the one that controls everything in this world, in this universe. He's shepherd. Yeah, he's my shepherd. He's my shepherd. I'm telling you, when you go through a trial, that's comforting. People say, well, I believe in God, that God's sovereign. Do you really? Just wait a while. Wait till something really just hits you up blindsided. Then you'll find out for sure. Then you'll find out where you can say, whatever my lot, he had told me to say, it is well. It is well. It's my soul. The Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. If he feed me or slay me, he's my shepherd. If he humble me or honor me, he's my shepherd. He's my shepherd. We're his responsibility. You'll never lose one. He's the shepherd. Then it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Because he's my shepherd. Psalms 34:9, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. In essence, this means, I shall not want, I shall not fail, or I shall not ever come up short. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What's he saying? I shall not want. I shall never come up short. This is the very same thing that you were talking about with the balance. You remember in the book of Daniel when Belshazzar, he says, oh, they were having their party. He says, go get the vessels that we brought back from Jerusalem. Let's just drink. Let's have us a good time out of these vessels. These vessels were holy vessels. God declared them to be holy. Oh, in a few minutes, he seen the part of a man's hand begin to write on the wall. Oh, he began to tremble and to shake. And he said, can anybody interpret to me what he's saying, what that handwriting is? And nobody could. And he said, well, it's called for Daniel. And Daniel interpreted it. And here's what he says. Daniel 5, verse 27. Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Been found wanting. You know what I'm saying? You're coming up short. Like you just said, on this side of the balance is the perfect, holy, righteous justice of Almighty God. And here you stand, and you're coming up short. What's he saying? The Lord's my shepherd, I shall never come up short. Never come up short. It's good. That's what he's saying. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall never, never want. It's never going to change. Ever since God the Father looked to God the Son, he's never looked to me for anything. Never. Never. It's not me trying to make up the difference. I shall never want. That's satisfaction and that's comfort. Sometimes I feel like I come so short, and I do. In my flesh, I come short. My best deeds is filthy rags. But I never won't. He says I'm justified. Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Whether I feel like it or not, he says, I'm righteous. He says, I'm accepted. I shall never want. We have days of trouble. We have days of trials. And we live in a world of difficult times. And I shall never want. I shall never want for anything temporal. Here's what David said, Psalms 37:25. I've been young and now I'm old. I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You may not know where the next meal is coming from. He does. I think about old Elijah after I laying by the brook. Days of famine in the land. Days of drought. But God feeds him. God sent them old dirty ravens to feed God's preacher. And what he said, I've never seen one of God's sheep begging for bread. It ain't going to happen. Preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. It doesn't matter. If the Lord's your shepherd, you shall never want for nothing. Nothing. Temporal or spiritual. Listen to me. One day we will all stand before the very throne of Almighty God. And in that day, I shall not want. I won't come up short. I may wander and stray, but I shall not want. I have a perfect, perfect, perfect holiness. Listen to me. This is hard to grasp. The only way you grasp this is by God's Spirit. With His holy garments on, I'm as holy as His Son. How good do you have to be to go to heaven? As good as God. Said, surely it can't be that strong, that narrow. Exactly that way. God's law is unbending. It wasn't even bend for His Son. I can only read 2 Corinthians 5:21 that He was made sin. Explain that. I can't. But when He took my sin, they become His. And what was His become mine. He that was rich became poor, that I might be rich. I ain't never going to want. You said you sound pretty confident. I don't sound this way all the time. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You might get back to the motel room and you say, like, where was that at? It's not upon feelings.
Amen.
It's in right here. This is my foundations. Feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. They are. But God's Word never changes. He never changes. I am complete in Him. What does complete mean? It means complete. There's nothing lacking. Never going to come up short. It's finished. It's done. It's complete. And you are complete in Him. Not that I will be. I am complete. Complete. What more could I want? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Then he says, verse 2. Watch all these things. He said, this is what he does. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. This is contentment. They say the only two times, the only two things a sheep will lay down for is green pastures and to know that the shepherd's around. You know why sheep lay down? How many have ever seen a cow chew its cud? Most people, young people, they don't even know exactly what that even talks about. A cow may pick for hours, and then she'll go over and lay in the shade somewhere. And you know what she's doing? She's regurgitating what she ate. And boy, she's just a chew. Isn't that right? And it tastes so sweet. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. You know what green is? That's life in the grass. He's the life in the Word. You take out the Christ and you have no life. You just have any other history book. This book is about Him. From beginning to end, it's about Him. And what He says, He makes you lay down. Now this ain't He beats them over the head with a whip. As I think about this, I think about where He makes me willing in the day of His power. There's the same word. He makes me. Well, when I get hungry and I get so thirsty and I want Him, I get to looking in His Word. Every time I read this book, I may read it and not get anything. It's like that cow, she eats grass and it seems so dry. I tell you this, some of the best times I have in my life is when me and that girl right there sit down in my study. You know what we begin to do? We just begin to chew on it. I'm just lying down. I'm resting. I'm taking God's Word and I'm chewing on it. This book is not a book that you just read through. It takes time. You say, how did He take that passage of Scripture that you just preached from? How did He see that? He chewed on it. And it becomes sweet. You know what I'm talking about? He makes me lay down. Just rest it. As I read it, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. But what does that mean? What is He saying? He makes me lie down.
David said in Psalms 1:2, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. We must meditate on what we've read. We must feed on it. We must receive it as the sincere milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby. Psalm 77:12, I will meditate also of thy works and talk of thy doings. As for a meeting, let's not just talk idle talk. Let's talk about what we just heard. Let's talk about His doings. Just like you said, you remember the messages that He preached last year. Why does He remember? He's still thinking about it. He's still chewing on it. And when He chews anymore, does He? Boy, just lays down. You know what I'm saying? You've been there. You know exactly what I'm saying. If you've ever laid, if He has ever made you lay down in green pastures, just relax. You say, that cow, that old sheep is just laying. No, it ain't lazy. It's resting. It's resting. Resting.
Listen to me. Meditate means to revolve. Think about them frequently in thy mind. Consider deeply their nature and their importance. In thoughts, He makes me to be at peace. In my thoughts, I can be at peace. I can have rest. Your thoughts can just drive you crazy. He said, don't take no anxious thought. I know some of you may be sitting here saying, worrying about what's going to happen after the meeting. What's going to happen next week? Just lie down. Lie down. The battle's over. You maybe are coming to some place you've got to make some decision. Is this God's will? What am I to do? Lie down. And find rest. And peace.
Meditate on His promises. He said, I'll never forsake thee. We get weary. Let it. We're not at war. The battle's over. He's my shepherd. It's all right. It's all right. Now listen. You may say, well, preacher, you have more time than I do. You have more time to read and meditate. We all have the same amount of time. I heard Brother Henry say one day on the tape, people always saying, I don't have time. I don't have time to read. I don't have time to pray. He can fix it. Well, you do have time. If you're His, He will. Warning. Yes, He will. The latter part of verse 2, He leadeth me beside the still waters. Notice that gentle word, leadeth. All these words have... I'm not an English major. All I know, what little bit I've read, I think that word TH means it has continual action. That means He keeps on leading. He leadeth me, keeps leading me beside the still waters. He doesn't drive His sheep. He doesn't beat them with the law, like you were saying. I was exactly like that man right there. Got a hold of a few doctrines, and I thought I'd beat everybody over the head with them and make them believe this truth. There is a difference between believing a doctrine and resting in a person. That's exactly right. You can talk about the doctrines of grace till you're blue in the face. That's talking about the God of grace. There's a big difference. A big difference. A big difference. He doesn't lead. I mean, He doesn't drive His sheep by the law. He leads them. He goes before them. Genesis 33:13. And He said unto him, My Lord knoweth that the children are tender. The flocks and the herds with the young ones are with me. If men should overdrive them one day, all the flock would die. You don't drive sheep. You lead them. He leads me beside the still water. Still waters run deep. You ever been by a brook, and before you ever get to the brook, you hear it. You know why you hear it? It's very shallow, or if it's not, the rocks are very close to the surface. It makes all kinds of noise. Sheep don't want to hear noise. They want still water. And you know what He does? He steals the water. I can't find the still water. I can't make the water still, but He can. I remember... one day He was on a ship with His disciples. And a great storm came up. He's laying down in the ship asleep. They go down and wake Him up and say, do you not care that we perish? You think they're going to perish with Him on the boat? And you know what He does? He walks out on the bow of that ship. And He says, peace, be still. I don't care what you're going through. He's able to calm the waters. And He'll lead you beside the still waters. He leads. Leads. Trials are deep waters. But He leads us. Can you imagine, most of you have read that story about the man who wrote, It is well with my soul. Can you imagine those troubled waters? Losing a child, losing a spouse, losing somebody so dear to you, and walking out on the bow of that ship, writing that song, it is well with my soul. Whatever my lot, He hath taught me to say, you have to be taught it. It is well with my soul. How could He do that? He led him beside still waters. He led him. He leads us. He didn't just lead me yesterday and today. He's going to lead me tomorrow. He didn't lead me today and say, well, now, Mike, you just do the best you can. If you want to find water, you go find it. If it was up to me, I'd still never find it. When things happen that we don't like, first thing we want to do is try to change it. Let's just be honest. We want to try to make it better. We want to try to relieve the pressure just a little bit. The pressure is there for a reason. You know why? So you'll appreciate the water. So you'll appreciate the water. Sheep like calm. Still water. David said, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so my soul panteth after thee. Long for him. And then in verse 3, he restoreth my soul. How often has he come to us when we could not and would not come to him? He restoreth my soul. It literally means he causes my life to return. He quickens me or causes me to live. I know when he regenerated, he gave me life, but I still need to be revived. I know religion has corrupted that song, and I think sometimes we try to stay away from good songs. There's nothing wrong with us singing, "Revive Us Again." Fill each heart with a new, may our souls be rekindled with fire from above. And what he's doing, he's restoring my soul. He restoreth my soul. He causes it to live. Smoking flax he won't quench. If there's smoke, there's fire. And you know what he does? He fans it. You know what he's doing? He's restoring it. Listen. It refers to the spirit when it's been exhausted, weary, or sad. And the meaning is that God quickens or revives the spirit when it's thus exhausted. The reference is not to the soul as wandering or backsliding from God, but to the life of the spirit as exhausted, wearied, troubled, anxious, worn down, and with care, toil of the heart. Thus exhausted, he brings it back to vigor. I remember David one time when he came back to Ziklag. Some of y'all may remember the story. He came back and some people had came in. They just carried everybody off, his family and his children. And he said, "I'm the one to blame. It's my fault. So let's just sit down and feel sorry for herself." And when he did, he said he encouraged himself in the Lord. And he went back and David recovered all. God restored him. Listen, you know what it says in Galatians? It says, "If any man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness." Well, who's that spiritual person? Is anybody spiritual? Some will say, "Well, that's just a mature Christian." That's talking about somebody that's been where that person's been. This is what the word restore means. This is talking about the setting of bones that are broken. Have you ever had a broke bone? I have. Most people would never know this, I'm going to tell you. I broke that arm when I was 13 years old and I cannot straighten it to this day. I've had one broke. I know what it's like. And when I see somebody that's walking on crutches or has a broke bone, I can have compassion on them. I tell you, if I've got a bone that's broke, I want somebody to set it. I don't want them to just come up and just jerk it. I want somebody with some compassion to set that broke bone. That's what he's saying. I'm glad I know somebody, my shepherd, who can set the broke bone. Hebrews 2:18. "For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." Hebrews 4:15, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." You ever been tempted? He was. You ever been alone? He was alone. You ever been forsaken? He was forsaken. He can set my broke bone. He can revive and restore my spirit. David was cast down. David said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" And David, you know David, oh, everybody knows what David did. God recorded it. How would you have liked to have had a woman's husband killed? How would you like to deal with that? How would you like to carry that on your conscience? And I don't know how long that David went before God sent a preacher to him and pointed it out. And when he pointed out his sin, well, David got mad. He said, "That man ought to die that would do such a thing. That would take a man's only lamb and take that lamb and kill it." And that man said, "You're the man, David." But then we come to Psalms 51. And David said, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Don't you know David thought, well, where's he at? He'll never come back to me. I've just done too much. And then he says, verse 13, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then shall I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." I don't think David was as hard after that. You know why people enjoy the Psalms? God restored his soul. He restoreth my soul. David, upon his being received and pardoned, would teach others like himself how graciously God had dealt with him. I said I had a broken bone. There's not a person in this place who has not had a broken bone spiritually. Spiritually. He restores broken bones. Now, I have reminders of who I am. Jacob limped all the rest of his life. And God lets us be reminded of who we are. First, yeah, I'm righteous, but I'm still a sinner that need mercy. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He restores to me everything that I lost in Adam. He restoreth my soul. You can't do it. Say, boy, I'm going to get in the Bible and I'm going to read and I'm going to pray and I'm going to do what I need to do. It ain't going to work. But He'll speak to you. And show grace and kindness and mercy to you. He'll restore your soul. Thank God He restores souls. Let me tell you this. I get a new start every day. Can that really be true? Yes, it's really that true. What about David's sin? It's gone. It's gone. Gone. God put it away. Next, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He leads us. He doesn't drive us. He leads by example. He leads us by His Spirit. And He leads us by His Word. What are these paths of righteousness? Psalms 85:13, "Righteousness shall go before Him, and He shall set us in the ways of His steps." Psalms 25:4, "Show me thy ways, O Lord, and teach me thy paths." Psalms 25:10, "All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth, and to such that keep His commandments and His testimonies." Isaiah 42:16, "I will bring the blind by the way that they know not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known." The world says, "There is the way, walk in it." I don't know where it's at. I don't know how to find it. But He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. So what it says in Jeremiah 6:16, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls." You know what a path is? It's something that somebody's walked a whole lot. It's a path. A well-worn path. I don't care how worn it is, you can't find it. But He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. His righteousness. His righteousness. As for the old paths of righteousness and holiness which Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and others have walked there, they all walked this path. What path? The just shall live by faith. Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. For His name's sake. For whose honor? His honor. His glory. And when He says, "These are my sheep. These are my sheep." And you know what? They walk in His righteousness. And the paths. And the paths of righteousness. Verse 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me." If Christ leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake, I can be assured that I will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. They put this passage of Scripture on every one of those little folders that you see at a funeral. They think that's just talking about a physical death, and I know to some what it is. But while I walk in this earth, I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And those paths, that's where they lead. As He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake, it leads me right through the valley of the shadow of death. That's where it goes. That's where He leads me. In this valley. Every day we must walk through tribulation and trials in this world. You'll have tribulations. Walk is a continual journey. But we're walking through it. And it says they shadows. Can a shadow hurt you? A shadow of a knife can't cut you. A shadow of a gun can't hurt you. And the shadow of death can't hurt you. It's just a shadow. We see shadows in here, we cut the lights off, and there won't be any shadows. There has to be a light source. And it's just shadows. We're all afraid of shadows. I remember when I was a little kid, Mom would tell me to go do something outside, and when I'd go run, boy, I couldn't wait to get what she went after, what she wanted. I was headed back to the house. Scared to death of shadows. You don't have to be afraid of a shadow. It's just the valley of the shadow of death. This world is death. There's death in us, around us. But He's going to take us through the valley of the shadow of death. And He says, "I will fear no evil." He didn't say there wouldn't be any evil. He said, "I won't fear the evil." Why? Why can't I fear the evil? Because He's with me. He's leading me. He's leading me. Fear no evil. Through this valley. It may look scary. But He's with us. Here's what He says in Isaiah 41:10. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, and I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Don't be afraid. David said, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord." Have you ever been afraid? Have you ever been afraid? Afraid. What's going to happen? Something's going to get me. Yea, though I walk through the valley. I can't think of a more scarier place Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me.
Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know what his rod and his staff was? It was the thing he carried, had the crook on the end. His word is the rod of his strength. His promises are the staff of his consolation. By these we are sustained and comforted in the midst of our trials. They comfort me. Comfort me. The shepherd's rod has many uses. It can be used to retrieve straying sheep. We all stray. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. He says, come on, little sheep. It's used to direct the sheep. We don't know which way to go. Have no idea. We're just dumb sheep. It's also used to protect the sheep. We don't know how close we've come that many times to eternity. And God has protected us. Let me tell you this. I am immortal till He's done with me. And His rod and His staff, they comfort me. Protect me. And it's used for numbering the sheep. Like I said last night, when they come into the fold, that represents conversion. When God quickens them and makes them alive. And when He numbers them, when they come into glory. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Somebody asked, can He furnish a table in the wilderness? He sure can. This is a prepared table for a prepared people. We have enemies. We wouldn't be like our Lord if we didn't have enemies. Who is our enemy? His enemies are our enemies. He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He sets a table, no hurry, no confusion. We sit down and feast in peace and assurance. In all this confusion, we're at His table. In the presence of our enemies. You know what that's saying? There ain't a thing they can do about it. I just kind of picture him leading the sheep. He may take some out there and they could be wolves and bears and everything else around them, and he prepares them a table. And he said, you don't have to worry about a thing. There ain't nothing they can do about it. We sit right here tonight and God has prepared a table for us. And all around us are enemies within and without. Prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. They look on. There's nothing they can do about it. You remember the rich man in Lazarus? While the rich man lived on the earth, he had all everything he could ever wanted. And Lazarus, the dogs, licked his sores. But then they both died. And in hell, the rich man lifted up his eyes. You know what he saw? Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, eating at his table in the presence of his enemies. That's what our shepherd does. I shall not want. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runneth over. You saw this. Like when our Lord, I think it was Larry Chris read that story about the woman. Remember, she came in and the Pharisee wouldn't even kiss our Lord, wouldn't give Him any greetings, wouldn't anoint Him or nothing. And did that remember the woman came in, she anointed Him. He said, you didn't even show me common courtesy. It says here, He anointeth my head with oil. You know what that means? He met me and kissed me right on the mouth, as you said. What that means? He received me. He anoints my head with oil. And my cup just runs over. And this Obaya just can't hardly contain it. You know what runs over? So somebody else will receive part of it.
Remember the woman, she came in, she anointed our Lord, and Judas said, "What a waste, what a waste." He said, "She come to anoint my body for the burial." And said, when she opened that box and poured it up, the whole house was filled with that fragrance. "He anoints my head with oil." I'm just pictures. We walk through this world and we get discouraged and we get down. "He anoints my mind, refreshes me. It is more than I take." I'm telling you. My cup runneth over.
"Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. His goodness pursues me. And His goodness follows me." Does it? His mercy pursues me. And His mercy follows me. Does it? One thing I learned after God began to teach me the gospel was when God saves a person, He makes them gracious. He makes them kind. He makes them merciful. "Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." You know what it says in Revelation 14:13? "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Say, Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." And we didn't even know when we did them. We've heard a couple people mention Scott Richardson. I didn't know him that well, but I know a lot of people did. And they still talk about what he did. You know what he's doing? His works do follow him. You know exactly what I'm talking about. To sheep, goodness and mercy does follow him. Kind, gracious, merciful. I thought about Todd and Ivor sitting there this morning. Saved and called under Brother Henry Mahan's ministry. When that man's dead and gone, his works are still following him. You see what I'm saying? And he says this, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen.